So, Megan, I foolishly spoke to you about the 100 while we were off the record.
I mean, it's a rookie mistake. It's been a while, so I forgive you.
That's true. You know, I'm not accustomed to being a podcast host over the past month or so. But I foolishly spoke to you off the air, so now I'm just going to repeat what I've already told you, which was that while we were watching these episodes, which these episodes are intense. I mean, like, some of, like, arguably some of the most, like, rough and tragic episodes so far. There were still points where, like, I would see, like, Octavia and Bellamy and Brian and Miller were all, like, crawling through, like, grimy tunnels to get to their, like, rendezvous point where they're, like, gotta protect Clark and, like, you know, very high-stakes situation, and, like, they're all definitely threat of dying. But, like, they were just all standing close to each other and got to see each other in person, and I was a little bit jealous of them.
It's hard not to be, honestly. Yeah, or it's like, what did we say? It's not the nature of your apocalypse, but the proximity to your friends that matters.
Yeah, you, yes, like you replied with something along the lines of like, well, you know, any crisis, any apocalypse would be better if you could have your friends by your side, which, yes. You know, I guess things would be better if I could be facing death and destruction, but physically close to my loved ones.
And that's called touch starvation.
Friends. Yeah. All right. Well, on that bright note, ready to start?
Yeah.
And welcome, once again, to A Bit Much. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And on A Bit Much, we watch a few episodes of the wonderful TV show called The 100. And then we talk about it for your listening pleasure.
So we watched the end of season 3. It has, I guess we should address, been a while because I just have no free time because it's been insanely busy for all of my jobs, my multiple jobs.
So many jobs.
But got to take some time this week to watch these incredibly good but incredibly upsetting episodes that finished off season 3.
Yes.
So you want to go ahead and summarize, was it episode 14?
Yeah. Okay. It's called A Red Sky at Morning, which I don't know when that showed up. I don't know what the reference to that is. I saw that and I was like, I don't remember that. But anyway. Murphy, Pike, and Indra escape their prison in Polis and go after the pack that holds Allie's AI, intending to destroy it and end her. Meanwhile, instead of waiting for Clark and the others to give Luna the flame, Raven enters an access password she learned from Becca in order to infiltrate Allie's citadel in the City of Light and destroy her. Monty is forced to delete the code that held his mother's mind so that Raven can get to Allie, but Allie deletes herself from the mainframe of Arcadia before Raven can enter the kill code. In Polis, Pike destroys Allie's pack, but they were too late, as Allie has already uploaded herself on the remaining piece of the Ark left in space. On Luna's rig, Clark fails to convince Luna to take the flame, as well as fails to give it to her by force, when Allie shows up in the form of chipped grounders from the rig. Allie attempts to torture Luna into taking the chip, and then the flame, but Luna stops her by killing everyone on the rig who was chipped, including her lover. Luna drugs Clark and the others and removes them back to the mainland, where they must start from square one.
Yeah, then we have the two-part season finale, which is titled Perverse Instantiation. In part one, the gang teams up with Rowan of Asgeda to attempt to kidnap Antari and put the flame in her. Allie discovers this plan through Jasper, who is chipped, and captures the group when they arrive in Polis. In Arcadia, Jasper stabs Monty and threatens Harper to try to stop Raven from accessing Allie's code again. Meanwhile, Abby tortures Clark to get the flame's passphrase, eventually hanging herself when Clark doesn't break. Bellamy, Octavia, Miller, and Brian are saved from Allie by Murphy, Indra, and Pike, and they all attempt to go up the tower to help Clark. When they arrive, they save Abby and Clark, but not before Jaha bashes in on Tari's head, rendering her brain dead and ruining their plan. In part 2, Clark uses an EMP to unchip Abby and announces she herself will take the flame while getting a transfusion of Antari's nightblood. Clark realizes she must enter the City of Light to find Allie's kill switch while her allies defend her from the chipped people climbing the tower and keep Antari's blood flowing. In Arcadia, Monty captures Jasper and Raven accesses Allie's code again. In the City of Light, Clark searches for the kill switch and avoids Allie with the help of Lexa, who appears to defend her. When cornered by Allie, Lexa and Clark have a final heartfelt goodbye, and Clark uses a portal Raven made to access the kill switch. Allie tries to stop Clark by revealing that old nuclear reactors are failing all over the world, and radiation will soon destroy humanity. Clark insists they'll figure something out and kills Allie. As the chipped people regain their autonomy and the fighting stops, Octavia kills Pike.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, it was. So when I watched episode 14, there were things that happened, specifically to Monty, but just in general also, where I was like, wow, I forgot about this. Like, this is so rough. This is so bad. And then it just kept, and then I had two more episodes to watch after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Well, so the first thing I think that happens in this episode is that Indra, Murphy, and Pike break out of their prison in Polis and go to try destroying the backpack where, like, Allie's code is stored for now. But it continues this, like, concept that happened in the previous episode when, like, Murphy is talking to Indra about, like, yeah, I know you hate Pike, obviously, he killed a bunch of your people, but, like, we need every hand on deck if we're gonna overcome this threat. And that is something that is, like, even further elevated, like, throughout these episodes, when Pike is working alongside everyone, including Octavia, and everyone just kind of has to deal with that. Like, the guy who they, like, unequivocally, like, hate, like, has killed so many of their loved ones. Like, they just have to deal with it and work alongside him because they don't have another option. And that is, like, I feel like such a good, you know, example of, like, the way that the 100, like, just twist things around, where it's like, I, as a viewer, I hate Pike so much. Like, I hate him with everything in me, but I'm still like, but you know what? They do have to work together.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, right. And I think it just highlights the, like, overall overarching, you know, mega theme of the 100 of just, like, survival above almost anything else.
Right.
Like, this is, you know, just what we have to do. And it's just, yeah, it's just, like, gut-wrenching. And when Octavia comes in and she tells Indra, like, he killed Lincoln, like,
yeah,
like, cold blood put a bullet in his head, and Indra's just like, the dead can't help us. And it's just like, oh god, like, it's so rough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's uncomfortable. And then poor Murphy having to do, like, I don't know. I feel like this is, we could talk about this in the later episodes, but I feel like it's kind of a turning point for Murphy. I can't remember what happens to him in the next season, but
yeah, he really steps up his helpful game
in the next episodes.
I feel like the things that we have to cover for episode 14 are stuff with Monty and stuff on Luna's rig.
True. Let's do Luna's rig since that's kind of separated from the other plots.
So we start by seeing kind of like a little like storytelling, kind of like poetry slam happening on the rig.
Which is super cool.
It is super cool. And again, it is like, we literally, you know, the, like, the characters, particularly Jasper, but also, like, Octavia, Bellamy, and Clark, are struck by, like, how peaceful and easy things are here. And it's, I mean, like, it's true as a viewer, too, of, like, yeah, we haven't seen this just, like, peaceful society, like, maybe ever in the series so far. So it is, like, truly remarkable just that you get to see, like, maybe not the only place in the world that is untouched by, like, conflict and violence, but certainly the only place in this little corner of Earth that they have explored so far.
Very true.
Yeah, there's a point where I think Bellamy says, like, Jasper's actually smiling, and that was just... It's just hard.
It's so hard. And, like, yeah, like, Jasper is for sure just, like, he just wants to relax, you know, everyone. He's, like, ever since Mount Weather, basically, when he decided to relax in Mount Weather, he's been chasing that feeling, and he just can't hold on to it, and it really, really, really sucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The rig is cool, though. Like, I feel like they did a really good job of... Yes. It was literally just one episode that we're on this rig, but that they... Yeah, they do a great job of using specific characters and specific scenes to set up this feeling that you get from the rig. Like, I feel like I know a lot about the rig, even though we didn't spend that much time there.
Yeah, so no, it was excellent, like, world building and everything, definitely. Yeah.
And Luna's such a kick-ass character, too, and she's only there for, like, two episodes. You're like, freaking love Luna. Where she was like, no, well, you know, killing people is always bad.
Yeah.
just like, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And yeah, so I guess we can talk about Clark trying to convince her to take the flame. Basically, like, you know, before you, Lexa was trying to end, like, blood must have blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was working for peace. And, like, you can continue her legacy if you take the flame and help us destroy Allie. Because, like, she'll get here. Like, it's everyone. Like, if we don't stop her, like, we're all going to die. And so, but Luna sticks to her guns and is like, you know, and she was like, how many people are you willing to kill in order to have peace? And, like, she was like, that's not my jam anymore.
Yeah.
And then Clark's plan is to forcefully put the flame in her head. Which, like, Octavia and Bellamy are like, dude, that's not okay.
Well, and so the reaction to that, like, Clark kind of floats that plan, and then, you know, they're kind of horrified. And Octavia says, even Allie gives people a choice. And then, like, Bellamy responds, like, kind of now, like, reluctantly agreeing with Clark, like, we gave Luna a choice. She said no. And I'm like, okay, yes. That is the kind of choice that Allie gives people. Like, Octavia, you are wrong in, like, like, Allie gives people a choice. Like, well, yeah, she gives you a choice. And then if she says no, if you say no, then she tortures your loved ones. Like, that's not a choice.
Yeah, or strings you up on a cross.
Right.
Yeah, that's not much of a choice. So, yeah, but, and it's just so interesting because it's like, you know, it seems... They're coming up with these horrifying plans quicker and quicker. You know? It's like, where before they would have had to really rack their brains in order to, you know, override somebody's bodily autonomy. But now it's just, you know, that's idea number one. And Clark is like, please give me a better plan. Like, that's pretty much, I feel like I, you know, take a drink every time Clark says that. But how she's like, I really don't want to do this, but, like, we have to, because everyone will die, right? Like, that's mostly, that could be the slogan of the 100. We have to, or everyone will die.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that doesn't go super well for Clark.
Right. She tries to force it on Luna, and Luna just kicks her ass. Like, it's just, like, no contest. Just, like, gets her down, takes the flame, and is like, yeah, you can have this when you go home.
Yeah, and she has, like, the most badass line. She was like, I didn't run from the conclave because I was scared. Yeah. Because I knew I would win.
Exactly.
Like, oh, shit. Like, she's a badass.
But then Allie somehow appears on the rig. I don't think we ever got an explanation of, like, how she got there. But just, you know, like, when people went to the mainland for whatever reason, someone got chipped. Allie is here now.
Yeah.
And like you said, they capture people, they torture Luna, and Luna won't take it, and eventually Luna just, like, you know, uses her badass fighting powers to just kill everyone who was chipped, which is obviously very upsetting for her because she's not the everything we've known of her so far is just her emphasizing how she doesn't want to be violent at any cost.
Yeah. And also, I think it's done pretty well where Jasper's part of the people who are, you know, captured and tortured and told to sell the chip, and we never see him take the chip.
Right.
But, like, I think that's really well done that he, you know, behind, like, off camera, he takes the chip.
Yeah.
And we don't know it. I thought that was pretty subtle and well done.
Yeah, right, because, I mean, like, this is popping into the next episode, but, like, even up until, like, until it was revealed, I fully forgot that Jasper ever took a chip. Like, there's a moment near the beginning of the next episode when, like, Clark and Bellamy and all them are, like, leaving to go on the plan, and then you see a shot where Allie is there, and you're like, oh, shit, like, it's so good. But, yeah, like, I did not remember that Jasper had taken the chip, and it is, I think, done really well, right? Of like, oh, yeah, he could have taken it then, we just didn't see it on camera.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it for the rig.
Yeah, then basically, Luna, yeah, like, they have a little, like, they do a toast to all the people that Luna had to kill, but the Sky Crew's drinks are poisoned, are drugged, and so they get knocked out, brought back to shore, and like you said, just have to start from scratch.
Yep. That would be a really bad feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, that was, like, I feel like every plan they have, they were like, this is our last chance. And then like, yep. Okay, I guess we do this. And then now this is our last chance.
I mean, that's just what the whole, like, a season of The 100 is like. Once you get to about, like, halfway through the season, is the first time that they're like, well, we have no other options. This is our last chance. We have to do this. And then that just keeps repeating.
Yeah. Oh, man. So this made me think of, and I think this was my, like, junior year, like, theater class in high school. And we had to, like, write a short play, like, one scene play or something. Mm-hmm. And our teacher was, like, oftentimes in plays, like, the last scene or whatever will have, like, you know, there's in the classic, not classic story, but in a lot of stories, there's a part where, like, everything goes to shit, right? You're like, Oh, this can't get any worse. And then there's, like, a... And then, and I think she framed it as an unexpected worsening. And I feel like all of the 100 is just an unexpected worsening.
Unexpected worsening. Like, that's so good.
Until the end of the season where they, like, somehow pull through. But that's all I could think of is, like, oh, another unexpected worsening.
Yeah. Yeah. So back in Arcadia, first, something nice happens. Which is it's so sweet. Like, Harper, like, pulls Monty off, like, oh, come help me, like, you know, secure this exit, whatever. And they go off, and then she's just like, oh, I'm kidding, I already secured it. And then she kisses him, and his reaction, too, was so funny. Like, they kiss, and then he pulls away, and he's like, you're still you, right? You're not being controlled by an AI.
Oh, yeah, you know, classic first kiss questions.
Yeah. Concerns.
Yeah. And he's so cute. And then he, like, she, like, pulls him back, obviously, to, like, go get some. And he's, like, so excited.
Yeah.
Very cute. And it's, you know, you could assume that this is this is probably his first time, I would assume. You haven't seen him be with anyone else.
Right.
And it's just really adorable. And then it also makes me think again of, they must have some sort of birth control.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that, I mean, you've got to assume that all of these teenagers from the arc just, like, have birth control. That's just, like, part of on the arc, like, you know, their checkups is they just have, like, you know, hormonal or, like, you know, like, whatever the one is that people get now that's, like, in their arm where it's just, like, for 5 years you're set, like, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's got to be that, even though they never touch on it.
No.
I think it should be touched on, but that's fine. But yes, very cute, very good. Meanwhile, Raven's kind of slowly losing her mind. She won't sleep, but she has this idea, you know, she's sick of waiting around for Clark. says she was like, that's all we do.
Yep. Yep.
Hard to do things. So she was like, you know, I got this access code while I was like under whatever Allie's influence. I know how to get into like this, I think she calls it the Citadel, mm-hmm. in the City of Light, to get to the kill code and activate it and kill Allie. And she was like, you know, we can't rely on Clark all the time. Like, I can do this. And Monty's like, stick to the plan.
Yeah.
It's a good, no, it's not a good plan, but it's our plan. We all agreed on it. Like, if we're going to do something like that, like, we all need to agree on it. Like, they all need to come back. We need to talk about it. And when Monty is gone, she was like, yeah, I promise I will do it, blah, blah, blah. And then, well, I think it's actually when Monty is there, he's like, falls asleep next to her because he's like,
yeah,
he's sleepy because he was getting it on. So he falls asleep, and that's when Raven just jumps the gun and does it, because she's got like a personal grudge against Allie, right? Like, she was under her control. So, like, I get it, but it's also stupid.
Right. Yeah, so Allie knows that Raven is like closing in. And so she puts Hannah Green in the way, basically. And she's like, you know, talking to Monty and trying to convince him and stuff. And then Monty is just like, how do I get rid of her? Like, how do I delete her? And Raven's kind of like, are you sure? And he's like, tell me how to do it. And so he does it, and he erases the sort of the code that contained his mother's mind. So he kills his mother a second time. And, like, I can't decide if that's, like, lazy or, like, brilliant.
Like, I think it's brilliant.
Right. Like, it is truly, like, you know, it felt to me like Shakespearean or, like, what's his name? Like, Sophocles, you know, in terms of, like, classic tragedy of just, like, the worst thing. Like, we did this terrible thing to this character already, and then he had this glimmer of hope of, like, well, maybe she's still alive in the City of Light, and then they forced him to kill her again. Like, it's just the worst. And then, and then it's sort of all for nothing. Like, not really, because Raven does get some intel, but she doesn't get to actually destroy Allie in that moment.
Yeah. Which, like, props to Monty for not just totally turning on Raven and, like, completely blaming her. Like, I feel like any other character, they would have had beef, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he does, like, mention, like, we did that for nothing, but, right. Like, he doesn't hold a grudge, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Monty's just too good for this
world. He's way too good for this world.
Yeah. So then, meanwhile, basically, like, Murphy and Pike and Indra are trying to destroy the backpack, and then Imori stalls them, and then they don't do it in time. That's that whole plot line.
Yeah, where she was like, it's made of a nuclear fuel cell, and I was like, a fucking course, it's made of a nuclear fuel cell. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. But they smash it anyway. It was literally just a stall tactic. There was, like, that was all plot, and no real other reason, but... Yeah, that's about it. You signed it up right there.
Okay, so moving on to the next episode. So basically Bellamy, Clark, Octavia, and Jasper heading back to Arcadia to make a new plan because they don't know what the hell they're doing now. And they run into Rowan, who tries to, like, steal the flame from Clark to go put it in Andari, but then Bellamy swoops in and saves and, you know, stops him, and then he's like, how do we know he's not chipped? And you know, Clark's like, oh, he would have killed me at this point if he was or whatever, and Bellamy's like, let's just make sure, and then shoots him. Which I love. But anyway, so they manage to bring Rowan back and basically convince him, like, yeah, like, Clark is, like, the only way at the only Nightblood left that we know is Antari. So, like, yeah, we gotta get Antari, even though she's already chipped, and put the flame in her, so let's work together.
Right, and, like, I feel like Rowan's middle name should be, like, convenient plot device.
I mean,
he always shows up at the right moment to, like, for whatever the plot needs.
True.
Yes, so they have this whole plan. I'm not entirely sure what the plan ever was. Like, they get to, you know, the outskirts of Polis, and Rowan and Clark are there, and Rowan's like, I need the flame. And she was like, okay, but I'm coming with you. And Bellamy's like, for fuck's sake. Yeah. No, you can't do that. And she was like, I'm not letting that thing out of my sight. Which, like, to be fair, good plan, right? Like, yeah. You really shouldn't leave that thing out of your sight. Like, it's literally the most important thing. And so their plan is to have Rowan take Clark as a, like, quote-unquote prisoner. Not quote, you know, air quote, prisoner. Yeah. And so that they can get up to Antarion, like, Rowan's gonna come and demand to have see Antarion himself and give her the flame.
Also, just before we move on, when they're having that conversation about Clark's like, I'm not letting it out of my sight, I'll pretend to be your prisoner, and Bellamy is like, hell no. Bellamy says, like, you can't do this, like, you really trust that guy with your life? And Clark's response is, no, but you'll be covering us the whole time, and I trust you. And just, like, the delivery of that line, like, it was so good. It was just so, like, I mean, like, okay, obviously, like, the actors are also, like, yes. I don't know at what point they got into a relationship, but, like, it's just, like, so delivered so intentionally of, like, the connection between these two characters is so powerful. Anyway, moving on.
Like I said, someone needs to be in jail because they're not currently together. Yeah. I need to file a lawsuit. Anyway, yeah. So, and then the other part of the plan is to have, like, everyone else be in a tunnel. First, I guess, covering them, but I don't know really what the plan was in case things go to shit. Whatever. So, but how does Allie know that it's a trap?
Because Jasper is already chipped at this point, so that's how she knows. And just, like, as soon as they show up, like, Jaha comes down and is basically just like, you're not seeing Antari, we know the plan, we're capturing all of you.
And they just shoot Rowan, and I'm pretty sure Rowan dies, but I'm not entirely sure.
I don't think he does, because we don't see it. I think it would have been made, I don't remember if he comes back later, but I feel like it would have been made more apparent if he had actually died. I think
he was a big enough character that it would have been.
Right. I think it was Kane who shot him. But I think he just shot him in, like, the, like, leg or something. But anyway. So they all get captured. And Clark is brought up to the throne room. So that Abby can torture her to get the passcode for the flame.
Yeah, and that's rough. Because, you know, of the whole her being her mom thing. And also, like, it's just so, I feel like it's also very poignant that she, like, uses her, like, she opens her medical bag, like, she uses to, like, help people. Yeah. And gets her scalpel and, like, uses it to stab her daughter. And it's just, like, so very sad, and Clark is just, like, begging her the whole time, and it's very unfortunate. And then Abby's like, her weakness has always been her friends. She was like, go get her friends to torture them. She was like, start with Bellamy Blake. And he was like, a crime, I'm telling you.
So also, sorry, just to back up a little bit, but basically there's a flashback to Arcadia where we see Jasper and Monty together, and they're, like, talking, and they're, like, kind of make up, like, Jasper, like, apologizes for, like, how he's been, you know, acting since Mount Weather, and they hug, and Monty calls him brother. And then it's, like, revealed that, like, Jasper's the one who's chipped. And so then Jasper, like, grabs a screwdriver and stabs Monty with it. And, like, it's just, again, like, classic, you know, like, so tragic that it's, like, this is what we've been craving. Is Jasper and Monty making up, like, because they're so important to each other. And then it's, like, just, yeah, the, like, you know, like, Monty got stabbed in the gut, but I also metaphorically got stabbed in the gut when we discovered that it was all a ruse by Allie.
Yes. Oh, gosh. She really knows how to play him, doesn't she?
Yeah, and then also, just speaking of tragic things, like, before Allie catches them while they're in the tunnels, Brian and Miller are talking. And right
now, that conversation gutted me.
Right, I was like, how dare you? Like,
First of all, how dare
you? Right. So, like, Brian is kind of, like, resigned. Like, are we ever going to be done fighting? And Miller is like, hell yeah, we are. Like, we're going to get out of this. And we're going to build a house on a lake. And you can, like, plant, like, vegetables. Corn. And we can raise chickens. And we'll grow old together.
Oh, you're just like, that's never going to happen. Oh, that better be the end of this whole series or I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
Like, happiness, finally. Some goddamn peace and quiet. Oh,
so, yeah. Right. So, anyway, so then they are, like, going to bring Bellamy and everyone else up to get tortured to coerce Clark into giving the pass race.
Right, and I might have missed something, but I thought Bellamy and them were captured at some point. And then must have been uncaptured because then they have to do that crazy climb.
Yes. So they were uncaptured. This is actually a cool scene because they're like, they're kind of like being led through the tunnels, like, I don't know, to prison or whatever. But then like, it's just suddenly all of their guards know like, oh wait, we got to bring Bellamy up to the throne room because they're all have a, you know, hive mind with Allie. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of like grab Bellamy. Oh my God, they grab Bellamy and they start pulling him away to take him. And Octavia's screaming like, don't go, like, don't take him. And Bellamy's just like, oh, it's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. And I'm just like, oh my God. It reminded me of like, I'm sure I've told you this story, but when I had my head injury, and like, I don't remember this part, but my friend who was there was like reassuring me as we were waiting for the ambulance. Like, it's, you know, you're fine. Everything's going to be okay. Like, don't worry. Like, it's going to be okay. And apparently I responded, obviously it is not okay.
We're waiting for an ambulance.
Yeah, like, I'm lying on the ground and my head is bleeding. Obviously, it's not okay right now. But, right, so it's like, you know, that's happening. And then, just like out of the dark tunnel, you see Murphy. And he's just like, hey, you guys, hit the ground. And Bellamy is just like, everybody, hit the ground. And they do. And then, like, Murphy and Pike and Indra just come in and just, like, mow down all of Allie's people, all of the guards, and are like, okay, let's go. And then Bellamy's like, we can't go. We have to go help Clark.
Murphy's like, well, what did they say? Clark is in trouble. He's like, Clark is always in trouble.
Yes.
Like, why is this our problem? We gotta go. Oh, man. Murphy is so funny. He's just such a reluctant hero, and it's so fun to watch him do these heroic things, just like, yes, rolling his eyes the whole time. Like, yes, God damn it. I don't want to be doing any of this.
I mean, like, you know, by this point in the series, like, I love, like, Murphy as a character. He's so, I mean, like, I, yeah, like, that's a recent development. Like, that is, you know, basically, like, season 3 is when, like, Murphy turns a corner for me. Because, like, all of season 1 and 2, I fucking hate Murphy. Yeah. Like, he's the worst. And, but then, like, after he is, like, trapped in Allie's little house on the island for, like, 2 months or whatever, like, after that, he becomes just a much more interesting and fun character.
Yes.
But anyway, so they go to head up the tower to get to Clark and Antari and all of them. And they're going towards the elevator to go up the tower. And there's two people, chipped people, obviously, like, turning the elevator, like, kind of just standing there. And so they come around the corner and Pike just shoots both of them dead. Mm-hmm. And Bellamy, like, objects. He's like, hey, like, you know, those people are not in their right mind. Like, we can save them. Like, you can't just go killing people, which is, like, you know, almost this direct inversion, I guess, of near the beginning of the season when Bellamy kills two random grounders trying to get up the tower to warn Clark about Ezgeta's plan. That, like, literally the same thing happened of, like, Bellamy just shot two people and Octavia objected, like, you can't just do that, they're people. And so, like, I thought that was, I don't know, I like that kind of thing, you know? I like seeing,
yeah, give, like, some narrative mirroring.
Exactly, like, narrative mirroring and just, like, showing now, you know, definitively that Bellamy is on the right side of things, that he is diametrically opposed to Pike at this point.
And then there's a whole bunch of shenanigans where, frankly, kind of boring to talk about, but, like, they have to get up the tunnels, they have to fight all these people.
Right,
up,
there's
and,
lots like, of obstacles. Yeah,
and, like, the most interesting part is the tension between, you know, these are not actually our enemies, like, trying to keep people alive until, like, you absolutely can't anymore. Like, right, it's either them right. or you. So, and that's unfortunate. Like, I feel like, you know, sometimes in the 100, like, deaths could just kind of be throwaway, but, like, I feel like those had more meaning because it was, like, it wasn't a bad guy. It was just a person under mind control. So exactly. It's like, oh, shit, like, that is, really sucks.
Right.
So, yeah, so as they're fighting their way up the elevator shaft or whatever, Abby gets the idea that, oh, you know, there's a delay.
Sorry, there's just two more things I want to say about the elevator.
Okay,
so first of all is that, again, just like Murphy is a character in development and shit, as they're going up, like before shit really like goes bad, it's just Bellamy and Murphy in the elevator. Mm-hmm. Like they're sent up ahead. Everyone else is staying back to defend. And Bellamy asks Murphy, like, why are you here? Like, why did you agree to help us? Mm-hmm. And Murphy says, like, you're not the only one trying to save someone you care about, which on two levels is amazing. Because first of all, like, obviously, you know, he's referring to Amori of, like, Murphy now has a person who he just cares about for, like, probably the first time since his parents died. Like, you know, obviously, like, huge, like, growth for him, but then also the way that he phrases it in a way of like, you're not the only one trying to save someone you care about, like referring clearly to Clark, like saying like, you know, mirroring those relationships. So that was just, again, great, but also terrible because it's a crime that Bellamy and Clark work together. And then also as they're like fighting off the people and they're gonna like blow up the like ladder behind them as they climb so that the chipped people can't follow them, but then at the last minute Indra sees that Kane is like in danger and Indra fucking saves him, like potentially sacrificing her own life and like getting stuck down below without going up to the rest of them. She like knocks him out of the way, which was powerful.
Right, because it was like Indra was so, in the beginning, like Indra was so anti-sky people, right?
Exactly.
Like, so vocal. And then like through her friendship with Kane, like, and that's just like such a strong friendship that she'll like sacrifice her life for him. It's just really good.
Yeah. Anyway, so you were saying Abby.
Yes. So Abby decides to just jump the gun and torture herself.
Yep.
To get Clark to acquiesce. And, so she decides to, you know, hang herself. So she has the noose around her neck and she's standing like on a barrel or something. And Clark is begging her not to do this. And it is so painful and so hard to watch. And Clark is just crying. And she was like, you know, don't do this. Like, don't. Like, what'd she say? Like, Allie, don't kill my mother. Like,
yeah.
Or don't let her do this. And Abby is like, you're killing me.
Yeah.
Damn it, like, this sucks. And so, and yeah, because it's like, she has no choice. So Abby, you know, walks off the barrel and kicks it behind her. And she's dying in front of Clark. And Clark is still like, I can't. Because it's either, you know, her mom or literally everyone else.
Right.
And, oh man, that's just rough.
Yeah, and I mean, it is so, like, I don't know, like, indicative of Clark's character, too, that it's, like, at almost, like, I mean, I guess this is different, because, like, for Clark, it really is, like, she knows that she is, like, one of the only people in the world right now who has the capability to stop Allie, because of the knowledge she has and her, you know, resources, like, she knows that she could do it. Like, but every other situation like this that there's been, right, with, like, you know, Abby took the chip because, you know, Allie started killing Raven, and Kane took the chip because, like, Allie threatened Abby, and, like, every other point it has been, like, people, because people were willing to make that sacrifice in the moment of, like, no, I can't think collectively right now, I can only think about my loved ones, and so, like, I will, like, you know, I will not resist anymore. And, but, like, Clark does. And, you know, it's like that she does, you know, she did that with Finn. Like, she's done mm-hmm. that throughout the series of, like, she has always been the one who makes that choice to think collectively. Yeah.
And Lyra's like, makes her, like, an incredible leader.
Exactly. I mean, and, like, there's some, you know, there's some moments where, like, this is sort of, like, only, like, there's only two options here. You know, there's been other situations, particularly regarding Bellamy and Lexa, where she, like, bends things a little bit to be, like, mm-hmm. no, we'll figure out another way. But, like, in this moment when it truly is, like, hey, your mom is dying. If you don't do this, she still doesn't do it.
Yeah. But true, buddy. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then, thankfully, that's when Bellamy and company burst through the door. And Jaha just, like, so calmly just picks up, like, a giant pipe and just smacks Ontari over the head with it yeah. under Allie's orders. Like, we can't risk them getting to her, so we can't use her anymore, so kill her.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's bleeding out, but she's not dead yet. And then Bellamy and they, you know, I think Matt cuts Abby down. And thankfully she's still alive, even though she's been hanging there for a very long time. Right, yeah. But Abby's still alive. Whew, good. And then, but now Ontari is brain dead.
Yeah, so then, they have this moment where Clark's like, well, she's brain dead, so, like, even if we put the flame in her, she can't do anything with it. And then Murphy is like, so we're trapped here. And that's
we literally have no
end of the episode. Yeah. So, in part two, we open up with Clark using the EMP that they had brought to unchip Ontari to instead unchip Abby. And again, like, just this incredibly emotional moment where, like, Abby is now suddenly free of Allie's influence and, you know, knows everything that she did to Clark and just, like, breaks down.
Yeah.
And again, just, like, so well performed and everything of, like, yeah. Clark.
Because, like, reassuring she can't even, her. Like, look at her.
Exactly. Like,
it's,
she's
like,
just
so good.
Broken. And Clark just being like, it wasn't you. Like, it wasn't you. I don't blame you. Like,
yeah. That's such a good moment.
Yes. And so, but then Clark says, like, okay, but I have a new plan. I have a new final last chance plan.
In the face of this unexpected worsening.
Yes. to use, like, they have Abby's medical equipment. So she's like, we'll use that to put Ontari's blood, because Ontari is still alive. She still has a heartbeat. She's just, her brain is all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
To put Ontari's night blood into Clark so that Clark can take the flame without dying. Which is already a pretty wild plan before we have the unexpected worsenings that will happen.
Which, I think it's Pike who's like, you know, whatever you're gonna do, do it fast. They're starting to climb.
Yes.
Fucking shit. And then they all run out onto the balcony and it's just so good and so creepy and eerie because mm-hmm. it's like, because this is when, like, they become, you know, when you see all of them, the hive mind part of it becomes so apparent.
Right.
And they're just acting so inhumanly, like, against their own instinct and their own natural, you know, no one would scale a building like that.
Well, exactly.
Not one, but most people wouldn't scale a building when they're acting against their own self-interest. And, like, yeah, and it's just crawling their way up like animals. And it's so creepy.
It's so creepy. And, like, that is, I love this. Like, this whole season, I just love the Allie concept. Like, everything about it in terms of its, like, the sort of, like, horror elements of it are just, like, so good. Because it's, like, it's sort of like zombies, except also the zombies have a hive mind. And, like, also the zombie, you know, because, like, there's definitely stuff in, like, zombie movies where it's, like, oh, this person was bitten a while ago, but it's been hiding it and stuff. Like, that kind of happens, except that, and, but then again, it's, like, they're still kind of themselves, and they can use their, like, own life knowledge to manipulate people. It's, like, it's so scary. And
yes, it's, like, zombies
so cool.
And body snatchers, like,
right.
combined.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. And then also, again, like, just the, you know, those moments of, like, the shots where you just see Allie all of a sudden and you know that someone, you know, has been has been shipped. It's, like, so good. So Pike is like, do it fast. And they're like, okay. So they they set up, you know, this little apparatus, which, like, they make a reference to Mount Weather. Right? That, like, yeah, well, this is just what Mount Weather did with the, they took the grounders and they hooked them up to the Mount Weather people and just took their blood. And Bellamy makes a reference of, like, oh, try doing this upside down, like, you know. And then, like, right before Abby's gonna put the flame, or Murphy, I guess, is gonna put the flame in Clark's head, she reaches for Bellamy's hand and holds it, and it was incredible.
I have grievances. Oh, yeah, no, that's such a good moment. Oh, man. Yeah, so, but thankfully it works. Clark gets sucked into the City of Light.
Well, so first she's just like, sorry, but again, you're missing a good Bill Ark moment if you skip over this, which is, she's like, she just, like, has the flame, and she's like, oh, I know I have to go into the City of Light. Like, I have to take the chip. I have to go into the City of Light. Like, that's, she's like, I don't know how I know it, but I know it. Like, the flame will protect me. And Abby is kind of like, that's giving Allie what she wants. Like, I don't know if that's a good idea. And Bellamy just is like, I believe you. And then grabs a little chip. They just had a little, like, a little ramekin of some Abby, Allie chips there. For anyone who wanted a little snack, and Bellamy picks it up and, like, gives it to Clark. Like, Clark does not take it in her hands and then put it in her own mouth. Like, Bellamy puts it in her mouth as though she is, like, taking communion.
Which is weirdly sexy.
Right? It's, like, weirdly intimate.
It's weirdly intimate. Yeah, so that happens. She's sucked into the City of Light. It's creepy because there's no one around, and then there's one guy, and he seems to be chasing her, and then she's in a crowded street, and he wasn't chasing her, and no one really knows that she's there.
Yeah.
No one's really paying attention to her, which, so interesting. So, like, when you're in the City of Light, for some reason, that I still can't quite figure out, you're in these, like, near future clothes, right? You're not in grounder clothes or sky people clothes anymore. You're in these modern clothes. But when Clark gets sucked into the City of Light, she's wearing what she wore on the drop ship.
Yeah.
Which I think is so cool. I just love that, like, so, you know, you have to assume that she's not under Allie's control. So, like, this is her mental image of herself now is what she was wearing on the drop ship. Which I think is so interesting.
I didn't even think about that. That's such a good point.
Yeah. Like, I just thought, and, like, everything too. Like, her hair is different. Like, it's exactly what she looked like. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh man, that's so interesting. Like, you know, that's her. She was reborn on that ship. Like, this is Clark now. And, like, that's just so interesting to me. But anyway, so in the City Light, and then she starts seeing the infinity sign, which is the,
right.
Oh, I can't remember the
company, it's like, but yeah, like Becca's company. Tank. Yeah.
Yeah. And she understands that she's supposed to follow it to get to the Citadel, to get to the kill code. So she starts following it. And I think we cut away from her at that point to something else.
Well, so I guess we could talk about, actually, this is a great time to talk about this. So meanwhile, back in Arcadia, like, once Jasper has stabbed Monty and we know that he's chipped, then, like, Monty gets to the whatever room that Raven is in and, like, locks the doors, but Jasper is, like, outside kind of taunting them and, like, trying to get them to stop and trying to get them to take a chip. He starts listing the deaths of, like, everyone from the Ark and, like, how they died. And he keeps using the phrase death by Clark.
Which is so good.
Which, I mean, including, like, he was, like, let me actually think about it. I mean, I think he says, like, Finn Collins, death by Clark. And then he says, Dax, death by Clark. And I'm like, okay, Dax was, first of all, a murderer, and second of all, was going to murder Bellamy when Clark killed him. So, like, that seems a little bit like a stretch. And then she's like, and then Adam, like, you know, asked for Fog, and then death by Clark. And I'm like, she was ending his suffering. He wasn't going to survive.
But still technically death by Clark. And, like, oh, man, just... That could be part of the drinking game, is like who suffers a death by cord.
Yeah. But so, like, but Monty is all, like, worried about Harper. He's like, Harper is out there, and she doesn't know that Jasper was chipped. And so anyway, so eventually Jasper does, like, Harper comes up and is like, what's going on? And Jasper, like, captures her and is kind of threatening her. But then, like, Monty sneaks out, ambushes him, and, like, saves Harper, and they capture Jasper. Meanwhile, Raven is still, like, looking at Allie's code because she's hacked back in. And she sees that Clark is there and that Allie can see Clark because Antari started, like, took a turn, like, started crashing. And so Clark, like, for a moment, isn't getting enough night blood. And then, like, Allie starts to close in on her.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary. Because it's, you know, all of these people in the city light, they start to, like, turn and notice her. It's very Inception-y. It's like when all of the dream people or whatever realize you're there. And so they all turn to her and they, like, start attacking her. And she's running away. And she's running up these stairs and trying to get away from people. And then Lexa jumps over her and starts slicing people up, and you're just like, fuck yeah!
Yeah. It's
like such a good, like, moment. I keep saying that, it's such a good moment, but there's so many good moments in these episodes where, like, I remember seeing that. I was just like, oh, Lexa! Like, oh, I'm so glad you're back. Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad you're here and protecting Clark, and they have this wonderful moment where they just see each other, and it's so full of emotion, and they like, they get there, they're like face to face, you think they're gonna kiss, and then they just hug really, really, really tight, and it's just very good. And I can't, it's very good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we cut away that.
Right. So actually, that's good, because I would love to talk about meanwhile in Polis. Basically, there's like one window where they know that the Allie's people are gonna be coming up. And, so Brian got shot, like, down at the bottom of the elevator, and they're like, oh, he's not doing well, his wound is infected. And I'm like, he got shot, like, an hour ago. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's how that works.
Like, you could be having a bad time because of a gunshot wound. I don't think it's infected yet. Anyway.
Right, like, why can't it just be Brian's bleeding out or something?
Right, yeah, like, yeah,
or whatever his name is. I keep calling him different names.
I'm pretty sure it's Brian.
Brian, I called him Matt before.
Okay. I think it's Miller, Nathan Miller, but we refer to him by his last name. And right. Brian, I don't know his last name.
Mr. Miller.
yeah, Miller's boyfriend.
Miller's boyfriend.
So anyway, so they, Miller and Brian, leave the room, leaving just Octavia and Pike there as the chipped people start to arrive. And Octavia just slices open Pike's leg, like, because she has been having a real hard time working alongside Pike. Unlike Indra and the rest of them, she is not able to momentarily put aside her grudge against him, and so she sees the opportunity and she just attacks him. Which basically just fucks over their plan. Like, so then the people get into that room, and now instead of, like, making their last stand there, now they're, like, barricading the doors. But then, while they are, like, at this barricade, again, we have an important Pike and Bellamy moment where,
right. Yeah.
Like, I can't remember exactly what Pike says. I don't know how the conversation starts, but they're talking about, like, their past and about the fact that Bellamy was on Pike's side, you know, for quite a while. And Pike says something like, you know, that, like, if that army had been there when Lexa died, like, they would have turned against us. And Bellamy's response is like, you know what? I really wanted to see things like you did. Like, I wanted to believe that just we were good and they were bad. And, like, you know, now I, like, he's like, kind of says, like, I don't know what I believe, but, like, I have to live with what I've done. Like, I have to live with what I did because, like, of your influence. And again, so it's just this good moment. Again, like, you know, I still struggle with this season with Bellamy because I feel like the writing was just too quick. He just turned on it too quick. But it's also, like, it does, I think this at least acknowledges that psychology of just, like, yeah, even if his, like, better intentions, like, should have known, like, hey, I've worked with grounders, I know they're not all bad. It was just, like, that kind of, that desire to just have clarity in your life and to just have a purpose in your life. And especially after having been partially responsible for so many deaths in Mount Weather and, like, fucking that up so bad. Not all because it was his fault, like, but just because it went so poorly, like, just wanting basically to believe, like, yeah, you know what, we're good. So I feel like this was, like, a good, again, like, moment to show how he's grown beyond that, but also, like, I feel like if I rewatch those episodes now, I'd still be really mad, but now at this point, I'm, like, not so mad about it anymore, because I'm like, well, they're kind of fixing it.
Yeah, which, like, yeah, I just wish, which, you know, like you said, yeah, you said that's a very good point, and that psychology makes sense, that simplicity, mm-hmm. like, that you would probably crave after, like, a trauma of losing your nothing girlfriend, right?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I just wish they would have introduced that sooner, and, like, you know, slower, but, you know, they didn't have time, blah, 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 whatever, but I agree. I feel better about it now. They're making up for it now. I think we cut back to Clark.
Well, yeah, or to what is happening to Antari and Abby and Murphy.
Yeah, let's do that. That's horrifying.
Yep.
So, yeah, so Clark starts to, you know, thrash around. The flames turning on her because she doesn't have enough night blood in her. And so Abby cuts open Antari's chest.
Right, so first she's just like, oh, she needs to get her heart rate up. So she's like, Murphy, just, like, do CPR. And so Murphy's just over there just doing CPR. Which is, like having taken CPR classes myself, I could never do CPR because you have to push so hard. Like, you have to hurt the person. You're just, like you could, like, break their ribs, but that's, like, less important than, like, keeping their heart going. It's horrifying. But so he's just, like, over there doing the CPR, and then Abby's like, oh, that's not good enough, like, her heart rate is still not high enough.
So then he's like, she's like, open her shirt, and he's like, okay. So he does, and then she cuts into her chest and then, like, breaks through her ribs and then clamps open this hole in her chest to expose her heart, and then reaches in and starts pumping it with her hand. Yikes. On a stick. Like, holy shit. And you can see on Murphy's face, he's like, what the fuck? And then she's like, Murphy, come over here and pump her heart like this.
Yeah.
And he goes, no.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not touching her heart.
And then she was like, you have to, or we're gonna lose Clark. And he was like, all right, fine. And so he, like, long-suffering hero that he is, he comes in and he grabs a hold of her heart and starts squeezing it. It's, oh, that's just a lot.
Yeah.
And this poor, like, you know, it was strategic for many reasons to not like Antari, but especially now when you're doing these horrible things to this young woman's almost dead body, and it's like, holy shit, like, this is pretty much not okay to do to anyone. Like, oh man, yikes on a stick.
Yeah.
But it works.
So it works, right? So, like, Lex and Clark can kind of have a moment of peace to try and find the kill switch. But they still end up at a dead end and kind of surrounded by, like, Jaha and Jasper. Like, Jasper shows up and is kind of, like, given his whole spiel of, like, it's, like, why are you trying to end this? Like, this is, you know, he talks about why he took the chip, right? He's like, I got to Luna's and I, for the first time in so long, found peace and, like, found happiness again. And then we destroyed that too. So, like, I was like, yeah, I just want this pain to end. Like, I'll take the chip. And Clark's like, we didn't destroy it. Like, that was Allie.
Yes. And then, a door appears. And you're like, what the fuck? And then they cut back to Raven in her little, like, coding chair. And she was like, come on, Clark, like, you can do it. And there's, like, code flashing in front of her. And then the door in the City of Light, like, reveals that it has a raven, like, emblazoned on it. And you're just like, that's so fucking cool.
It is so cool.
And so Clark is like, Raven, so we know we can trust this door. Like, we gotta go. And so, you know, Lexa is like, you know, all of the people, Jaha, like, gives the signal to attack, and she has to hold them off. And Clark is like, I love you. And she goes, I'll always be with you. And then she goes and she starts to fight people. And then Clark goes through the door, and it's very sad, but also very good.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then Clark is in the Citadel or whatever. And the Citadel turns out to be the Becca's satellite.
Yeah.
And she's in there and she can see Becca, and she's like, oh, prom Haida or whatever. And she's like, Becca's fine.
Yeah.
And and they go to the kill switch, and Becca like explains, like, you're, you know, in control, like you're the only one that can do this. And then Allie shows up and is like, hey, guess what?
An unexpected worsening.
Unexpected worsening. The last one of the season. So, hey, guess what? You see all those nuclear reactors down in the on the Earth? She was like, those are now failing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 12, like, there are 12 that are failing. Like, a few of them are already on fire. Like, within 6 months, the world will be too irradiated for anyone to survive on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck. And she was like, so you should just let me chip everyone, and everyone can live in the City of Light where it's peaceful and great and there's no pain for the rest of their lives, like, mm-hmm. for the rest of forever.
Yeah,
you'd never die, you're just peaceful all the time, like, why wouldn't you want that for your friends and family?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good argument.
Right. And so like, what now? Like, Clark is standing up there, and she's like standing in front of the switch. She's got Becca on one side and Allie on the other side, and she's trying to decide what to do, whether to pull the switch or not. And then meanwhile, like, out in real life, it's like last stand in the throne room. Like, you know, the chipped people have breached the room, and the chipped people include like Imori and Kane, like people that we mm-hmm. know and love. And it's just like a final fight. While, like, Clark is, you know, there, like, passed out in the City of Light, and Murphy is standing there manually pumping Antari's heart.
Yeah, and, like, that last, like, 10 minutes of this show, like, episode is just so tense, because they're, like, switching back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You're like, Clark, just make a decision!
Right.
Everyone is like dying as we speak. Like, Kane has his like hands around Bellamy's throat.
And, oh my god, yes. Just like choking him. And
yes. And like, Pike is fighting, and like, Pike saves Octavia's life by like knocking some dude off of her. And Abby is stationed in front of Clark with a gun, and she has to shoot some grounder, like, point blank. And Bella Murphy's just standing there like, God help me. And so, yeah, we're switching back and forth, back and forth. And Clark is standing there like, she doesn't know what to do. And, you know, she's trying to bargain with Allie, like, you know, just let everyone go. Let them, like, decide for themselves. And Becca's like, she literally can't do that.
Right.
She's deciding, you know, what's best for the human race and all of this. And she's like, Clark, do you really want your friends and family to, like, be tortured and die in 6 months? She was like, no, but, like, it's better than, like, you know, being trapped in an emotionless, painless void forever.
Right.
And what does she say at the very end?
Well, so there's like, sort of, like, a couple things leading up to Clark's final decision, which is first that Allie says something like, you know, join the City of Light and you won't be burdened by having to make these types of situations. Which, again, just like these types of decisions, like, just goes back to, right, like, when Abby is, you know, hanging mm-hmm. herself, and Clark is just like, I'm so sorry, mm-hmm. but, like, I can't. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she has always been the one who has to make those extremely terrible decisions about who lives and who dies. Mm-hmm. And, like, and that, you know, that will not end, like, in the future of the show. She will continue being the one who it falls to decide who lives and who dies and what is it worth to survive. And, you know, so Allie is offering her this, like, you know, you won't, like, you won't have to deal with the guilt of of having made those decisions. You won't ever be asked to make those kinds of decisions again. And then, like, sort of the last thing she says is, like, you know, if you join the City of Light, like, you won't feel pain. We will, like, it will ease your pain. And Clark's, like, final thing she says before she pulls the switch is, you don't ease pain, you overcome it. And then she pulls the switch.
Yeah. Oh, and one other point is, like, she's like, we'll find a way. We always do. We always have. We have to. And Becca's like, there's still hope. And so then, yeah, and then she's like, the really cool line about pain, and then she pulls the thing, which looks so much like the Mount Weather thing. And, like,
yeah, absolutely.
And since Clark's mind is, like, in charge of, like, creating the, like, environment or whatever, like, I think that's probably, like, from her subconscious or whatever. Mm. Like, another one of these flip switch moments.
Yeah.
And decisions come down to me and it fucking sucks. So she does it. And then they flip to Polis and everyone. It's so interesting because everyone stops fighting and then all of the City of Light people start moaning in pain. And
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, cool. They're good to go now. They're feeling pain.
Right.
And yeah, that's a uncomfortable moment because they're just like wailing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're just like all suddenly hit with this pain that they couldn't feel while they were in the City of Light. And then so like we have I don't remember, like, exactly the order that things happen in, but, like, they get the flame out of Clark, so she's, like, okay again, and Murphy can stop pumping on Tari's blood. And then Murphy, like, turns and sees Imori and, like, goes to her, and they hug, and it's, like, sweet. So she's, like, oh, so sorry. And then, like, same thing, like, we see, like, you know, Kane, who had been, like, just choking Bellamy to death, like, stops. And then you see again, like, you see him like this, like, that guy is like, I mean, everyone on the show is like such good actors, like, just the like his realization, like, what he's done, and he like starts breaking down, much like Abby did at the start of the show. And same thing, Clark is like go comfort him. And so Abby like goes to him, and they you know, she hugs him. And that's okay, that's like something that like I love about this show, is that like when, like, romantically engaged characters, like, see each other after something traumatic, they don't kiss. That always really bothers me in, like, shows and movies when it's like, oh my god, like, you're alive or whatever, the first thing they do is kiss. And, like, no, obviously you would just hug. Like, obviously that would be, like, the reaction.
Yeah, you want to hold them in your arms.
Right, just, like, you're real, like, and just, like, feel it. Yeah, exactly. So, I love that. And then we have back in Arcadia, Jasper is now free from Allie, and he says, like, I was finally happy again, which is rough to hear. But then again, like, Monty, like, comforts him. He's like, I know that life sucks, but, like, this is what's real, and, like, we're gonna get through this together, and, like, we will be happy again. And they hug, and it's sweet.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they cut back to Polis, and Clark and Bellamy are talking, and he was like, why don't you look like someone who just saved the world?
Right.
She was like, because we didn't. And you're like, fuck. And he's like, oh, you see in his face, he's like so tired. He's like covered in blood. And he's just like, can we just take a breather for half a second? And then Octavia turns to Pike, and you don't really know what's going to happen, right? Because, you know, he saved her life, so it kind of makes you think maybe they're going to get over it. And then she just shoves her sword through him and, like, jerks it and makes it go all the way out of his back, and then pulls it out and just watches him die. And everyone's just kind of like, yikes. And they're like, you know, fair enough, though.
Honestly,
I was still happy. I was like, no, yes, know, I was like, I still think that's fine.
Yes, I was like, thank god that happened, honestly. Like, because it was like, you know, over the past few episodes, whatever, it's like everyone has just kind of rationalized, like, no, you know what, like, it sucks, we hate him, he's done terrible, like, crimes against humanity, but we have to work with him. And then it's like, you know, Octavia saw, like, hey, we've defeated our common enemy, just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna take care of this now. And honestly, like, I'm glad that she did, because
I'm just gonna execute this war criminal. How's that?
Exactly, right. It's like, you know what? Like, if I wait another minute, like, other stuff is gonna start happening. This is gonna get lost in the shuffle. There's gonna be, like, bureaucratic stuff happening. Like, no, I'm just gonna take care of this right now. Pike, you deserve to die for your crimes. I'm gonna kill you.
I've got priorities. Yeah, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think that's the last thing that happens. And yeah, so I mean, like, again, this, like, you know, very similarly to, like, the end of season one, you know, it's like we already know what the conflict is going to be for next season. Like, we know they've got, like, 6 months before the Earth is uninhabitable. Like, that's going to be the problem. And again, like this, like, you know, so it is this very Pyrrhic victory. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce the thing, but you know, where it's like,
it sounds right to me.
Yeah, like we won, but at what cost? And like ultimately, yeah, like people, I mean, named characters, like we have lost over the season, but we still got our main cast. You know, so even though they did all do pretty terrible things, as agents of Allie, they are all themselves again. And like, I was thinking about this as I watched these episodes, which, like we have said, are so difficult to watch and just so rough, but also like I really enjoy and also are really good. And I feel like there's other pieces of media where like the characters just suffer and suffer, and it's like, and there's just constant unexpected worsenings, and I just like, I just get like tired of it. Like I'm just like, I'm exhausted. Like, you know, you're doing too much to these people. Like I, you know, it's just too upsetting. Like I can't do this anymore. And for some reason with The 100, I just don't hit that point. Like I'm like, it's so terrible, but there's something here. And I don't know if it's like just that the storytelling is really good, or that there's these unexpected twists, or if it's like the characters themselves or their relationships, or if there's like just enough hope all the time that I don't get exhausted by it. But something about the show keeps me invested and wanting to watch, even when I know the characters are all going to suffer very, very much.
I think there's something about it that's just very like shows like the indomitable spirit of humankind, like that, you know, and like they want to survive, but also, and the tension between that and being good people, and like, and I think that the worsenings are never, they're never frivolous, they're always, there are always consequences, there are always choices that have to be made. It's never like this is just done to cause more suffering. It's like, okay, no, there are repercussions to this worsening. It's not for nothing. It's not for shock value. It's not for emotional, like just emotional distress. Like there are, it's like just so grounded in them. Like that's basically like what this show is built on, but I think they do it really, really well.
Yeah. No, that's a great point that, yeah, it is like, it never feels like, oh, this is happening just to punish the characters. It's like, no, this is happening because they're always in these extremely complicated situations and dealing with these big questions, right, of like who gets to live, who gets to die, and what are the consequences of each choice that we make.
It's just very morally complex, and it's so interesting.
Well, any last thoughts?
I don't think so. I think that's all that I had.
And you know what? I also keep watching because they just keep feeding me little morsels of Clark and Bellamy loving each other so much.
But literally, like, I'm going to write some strongly worded letters if they don't end up together. That would be really, really bad. And, like, I get it that, like, okay, yes, men and women can be friends and be very, 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 very close. But, like, they have an undeniable chemistry that, like, I just can't handle.
Right. Well, and then there's also this, like, I think I have read this, you know, something that was talking about this before of like, there's kind of this paradox of like, yes, you know, men and women can just be friends, but the, almost the problem with that in like mainstream media is that like when a relationship is developed just as a friendship, then sometimes it's like so nuanced and good that then you want it to become a romantic relationship. And like I, that, see that, cause that's the beautiful thing about The 100, right? Is that like, so, for example, like, we read the first book, and it was bad enough that we just gave up on that enterprise altogether. But, like, in the books, like, yeah, Clark and Bellamy get together, like, right away, and it's super boring and, like, not interesting. But because this show, like, just takes its time, and that's never the focus, right? Like, even when, like, you know, like, this season we had this, like, romantic relationship between Lexa and Clark, which was a big, in, had a big influence on the plot, but it wasn't like that was the focus of the story, you know? It's like, that's just, like, these characters interacting with each other as they move through, you know, the very complicated and, like, high-stakes plot. And so it's, like, because it's developed so slowly and because it's, like, the path is so complex but, like, makes this continuing progress, like, that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, I know.
But, of course, it's worth nothing if there's not payoff.
Yeah.
And also the weird thing is that we're now in a world where The 100 is over.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, season 7 went up on Netflix, meaning it's done. Like, there are people who exist who know how The 100 ends.
Oh, man. That's wild. So wait, have we not seen the 7th season?
The 7th season was the one that just aired this year.
Okay. So season 7 is the last season?
Yeah.
Are we going to watch it or are we going to wait until we rewatch?
I don't know, because I didn't even get through all of season 6 before we started doing this. And now it feels weird to jump around, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it, but I kind of want to wait until we rewatch everything first, and then that we could, like, talk about it. I feel like that would be, you know.
I know.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Okay, we'll talk about it. I guess that's it. Thank you so much for listening to A Bit Much.
We'd like to thank Bree Mimba and Meredith Stein for our lovely logo.
You can find us on the internet. We're at A Bit Much Podcast on Twitter, and we're other stuff, but no one uses it anyway, so I'm not going to bother. And I am Jenna.
And I'm Megan.
And are you going to give a quote?
Yeah. Okay. So my favorite quote was from Murphy when he decides to help Clark. After this, doing the right thing can kiss my ass.
Yep. Yeah, I know the feeling.
All right. Bye.
Bye.